I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Hey there, music fans, and welcome back to another captivating episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your trusty host and guide through all things music in 2024, and today we've got a special treat for you. Joining us on the podcast today is none other than the sensational American singer-songwriter and producer, Chelsea Cutler. Known far and wide for her soul-stirring melodies and heartfelt lyrics, Chelsea is set to grace Australian stages in May with the enchanting sounds of her latest masterpiece, Stellaria. Now, Stellaria, which is Chelsea's third studio record, was released in October 2023 and is a testament to her unparalleled talent and unwavering dedication to her songwriting craft. With standout tracks like Your Bones, Stay Anything, and I Don't Feel Alive, the album has struck a chord with fans and critics alike, earning accolades from the likes of Vee Magazine and Rolling Stone. Now, in today's episode, we're diving deep into the world of Chelsea Cutler with Chelsea herself. We'll be chatting about her highly anticipated Australian tour, exploring the creative process behind Stellaria, and uncovering the musical influences that have shaped her remarkable journey. Now, we want to give a big shout out to Layla and Mon from Scrabble PR for making this interview possible. And hey, don't forget to hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for more captivating conversations wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest updates and behind-the-scenes exclusives. So, without further ado, let's dive into the mesmerizing sounds of Chelsea Cutler. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Chelsea Cutler. Chelsea, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. I know that there's a lot of people currently in Australia and whoever, wherever they're listening to this podcast, but mainly in Australia, they're excited that you're coming down to join us in May, in a month or so, for the Beauty Is Everywhere tour. I know I'm excited as well. I'm wondering how you're feeling. This is the debut Australian tour for yourself.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big time. I'm really, really excited. I've heard so many amazing things about Australia from some of my friends who've gotten to go and play shows there. So I can't wait. I don't know. Anytime that you get to go to another country or continent to meet people who are, you know, invested in your career and your music, it's a pretty humbling and incredible feeling. So I'm super excited. I do really want to see a koala and kangaroo. And I've recently just learned that there are really big spiders that I need to be cognizant of. So I'm a little scared of that, but overall, going good.
Look, that's very smart advice that some people have given you. We had, I believe, a friend and colleague of yours, Quinn92, on the podcast, I think a year ago or so. And it was a similar conversation in terms of he had heard certain things. Did he offer you any advice on what to do, what not to do? Did he warn you what a shoey is at all?
Yes, he did. I think that I'm going to probably buy a pair of Vans or something to bring to do the shoey out of so that I don't ruin any pairs of my shoes, but I'm excited. Yeah, he said that he loved Australia. He said he's very jealous that I'm going.
I think that's actually probably the smartest way to do it. Buy almost like a fake pair of shoes and then you can just bring it on as a prop instead of having to go through the real thing. Smart, yeah. Now, I know that you're currently in the US on tour at the moment. How is that tour going? How are you on tour? Do you have any kind of rituals while you're on the road?
The tour has been amazing so far. We're just about approaching the halfway mark or so. And yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been, you know, a year and a half since we've headlined in America. So it's kind of refreshing to get back in front of people. And yeah, the tour's just, it's been so much fun. Rituals. I mean, I'm fairly regimented. Every day is pretty much the same, you know, wake up, try to work out in some capacity, walk my dog, drink a lot of Red Bull and coffee and do the show.
That's very smart. What kind of dog do you have?
I have, he's half Burmese Mountain Dog, half poodle.
Oh, very cute. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. He's super cute.
Do you take him on the road with you most places? Will we see him down here in Australia?
I think that there's quarantine rules for bringing animals into Australia. So unfortunately, I don't think that he is allowed to come, but I wish.
That's very fair. Look, I apologize for our international bio laws, but excited that he still gets to see a lot of the country in the US. This tour that you are coming down to Australia for is in support of your brilliant third record. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Stellaria.
Correct. Yeah.
Perfect. Firstly, congratulations on this record. It is a stunning piece of work.
Thank you. That means so much.
No, of course. I know that the record has been out since October. I know that it's been gaining a lot of positive press and reviews. I'm wondering from you, from the artist who has put that work out into, you know, out into the world, how are you feeling now with it having been in the world for the last 4 to 5 months?
It honestly feels pretty liberating. I kind of think when you're sitting on something for a long time, it morphs into a million versions of itself and there's so much pressure around it. And finally having it out, honestly, it just felt really good. And it's honestly been really liberating for me in terms of my relationship with it too. Like it's no longer this work in progress. Now it just is. And kind of the finite element of that is it's a nice relief. And it's it's allowed me to kind of be creative in new fun ways post-release too, which has been really exciting, getting to start to work on new stuff. But yeah, I mean, it feels good. I think being on tour is kind of the main environment where you can really see an album live post-release. So that much of it has been like particularly exciting.
Has there been any surprises on the road in terms of this new record? I know sometimes, especially when you're in the studio for months on end working on these songs, you've got a certain perspective on these tracks. And then we've spoken to a number of artists that have kind of advised when they've then taken it onto the road, they're surprised that a certain song they thought might not hit a certain way hits in a different way or something like that. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there is a song called You Don't Think About Me At All that I actually had initially kind of advised the team to kind of take it off the set list. I got into rehearsals and I was like, guys, I think we should cut the song. And the band and everyone had been there for a couple of days kind of going through the music without me. And they were like, respectfully, we think you're wrong. So we gave it a shot and it's been weirdly maybe my favorite moment of the set. So that's been a really big surprise.
That's absolutely awesome. I kind of love when there is that little bit of a moment where you're able to not take a step back, but that you can see these other people's perspective and see the work that you've done has had a different impact on them than it might have on of you, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that's kind of the beauty of working as a team when you have an MD and a band and, we kind of operate with a fairly open forums, you know, specifically for that reason, because I really value everyone's input. And I was wrong. And I'm really glad that they felt like comfortable enough to tell me that.
That's awesome. Well, I'm very glad as well. As I've mentioned before, the record is stunning. It's a beautiful for anyone who hasn't listened to it. There will be links within this podcast for them to be able to go and buy the record and stream the record and buy tickets to the shows in Australia. I'm curious because there's a little bit more, I want to say like organic instrumentation this time around. I think for the first two records, there was elements of this, but I think this is maybe the most that's kind of pushed that sound of like pop rock in a way, but not pop rock either. It's its own kind of thing. Was that an intentional kind of decision before you went into the studio? Was it just an organic thing that kind of took place as you found yourself writing song after song?
I think that it's kind of a combination of both, but I definitely did go into this record thinking about what kind of music I want to be playing on stage forever. And I thought a lot about, you know, when I'm 40, like hopefully I'll still be able to be touring and I want to have records that sonically still feel like I can relate to them. So for me, I thought going this more organic route would be really fun and something that, yeah, I would enjoy. I think the songs off Solari are songs that I would enjoy playing, you know, now just as much as I hopefully will in, you know, 15 years. So yeah, that much of it was really intentional. But like I said, it's liberating for it to be out because I feel like, I don't know. I'm excited to kind of see which direction it goes from here.
Of course. Look, I can very much appreciate that. I was wondering, Chelsea, if you might kind of indulge us with primarily a songwriting podcast. I was wondering whether you'd be able to talk to us about your introduction to music and how you got into songwriting. I think if I've done my research correctly, I've heard your dad has very good music taste in terms of maybe some Room for Squares that was played in the household when you were younger.
Yeah, my parents are super, super musical people. They're not necessarily the most musically inclined, but they always have music playing in the house. You know, we'd wake up and my dad would throw on the Beatles. And my mom is from kind of the Asbury Park area. So Bruce was always playing in our household. So I don't know. I just grew up with like such a family culture where music was such a big part of it, that it was kind of inevitable that it would be just such a massive part of my life. And my parents were super, super supportive with me getting into guitar lessons and piano lessons. And I'm really fortunate that, like, they bought me a little MacBook when I was like in my early teens and, you know, it had GarageBand on it and stuff. So they got me this computer so I could start learning how to record instruments and stuff when I was really young. I really give them all the credit because they truly could have been more supportive and encouraging with it all.
That's absolutely awesome. What do they make of it now? I guess, are they, with being such big music heads, if you will, do they kind of listen to some of the unreleased stuff and are like, oh, you could do this? Or do they offer their own input into your songwriting?
No, not really. I'm actually fairly secretive about new music. I have like a select handful of people that I'll show stuff to, but for the most part, I don't know. I think that I just get a little bit nervous to hear their opinions on anything. So I don't even know what they think of the album. You know, they obviously came to, you know, the show at Radio City in New York and, you know, were so excited and expressed, you know, that they were proud and everything, which means so much, but I'm a bit hesitant to like ask them what they really make of the music. Cause it's like, you know, it's like journal entries. They're like diary entries to an extent. And sometimes I don't want to necessarily have a conversation with my parents about what they think about all of that. So mm-hmm. I don't talk about it too much.
I can very much respect that decision. I think that's very, very fair. With the, I guess, because I did read now that you yourself, you're teaching your own songwriting classes with studio, I think, and kind of offering that. Has that changed your perspective of how you work, or have you kind of, I guess, had conversations that have made you rethink your own creative method or kind of brought in different methods to that own one?
I think if anything, the fact that I've started getting more comfortable teaching and talking about production in that way and songwriting in that way, it's made me more confident a little bit, and it's helped me kind of take ownership, particularly of the production element of things, because I think that I've just been so conditioned to.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Undersell and underplay kind of the production element of my career just because it's such a male-dominated space. So I've always been like, yeah, I produce, but, you know, that's why it's not mixed so great. Or I hope, you know, I don't know if I should be the one teaching people, but my team's been really supportive of, you know, they've really helped me kind of take ownership of that. So yeah, if anything, I feel like it's just helped me be a lot more confident and decisive in the studio.
I absolutely love that. There was one track on the record I was hoping that you might indulge me in a little bit and ask about, I guess the inspiration behind it. Was one of my favorite tracks on the record. It was Hunting Season, which I just thought was this beautiful kind of, there were elements of, and I know that I think in previous interviews you said that some of your parents' records didn't kind of influence how you make music in terms of like John Mayer and Coldplay. There was some John Mayer-esque guitars in Hunting Season, but I was wondering, yeah, if you might just tell us how that song came to be and how it ended up on the record.
Yeah, I was in Los Angeles with my friend Kevin White, who I made a lot of the album with. And we actually had another session that day, but I'd gone over to his house a little bit early. And I came in with a BPM that I wanted to write at, because a lot of the songs that we had for the album at that time lived in such a ballad kind of world. And so I knew I wanted to make this kind of like pulsing, driving song. And I came up with that, the first, like, it's hunting season, da 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 da. And then the people showed up for our session. And we're like, okay, all right. If it's very special, it'll, you know, be stuck in our heads and we'll come back to it. And we ended up staying up really late that night after the people we were working with went home, because we were like, I don't know, there's something here, we should just see it through. And and we kind of just wrote it in one go, and we produced it out together kind of back and forth. When I was back in New York, we just sent the session back and forth a bunch.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for allowing me to ask about that and kind of indulging my question. In terms of producing, is it something that you, I imagine that like different times and different moods call for different interests, if that makes sense. Do you find that you prefer producing over songwriting? Are there times where it's something that you get more involved with, or is it just kind of like a balancing act of that at certain times of the day, you'll be more interested in one certain aspect?
I think that it's a little bit environment dependent for me. When I'm alone, they really go hand in hand to me. Mm-hmm. They kind of feel like one in the same process. I think that when I'm in sessions, or, you know, when I'm with other producers, it generally is a little bit easier for me to take the backseat production wise and kind of let them run the session, because usually that's kind of my best chance at us going outside of the box of kind of my comfort zone. I'm like, you know, let's see like what your brain is kind of thinking today. I don't want to like limit myself, if that makes sense, by being the one who's at the helm of every session for every song ever. So I actually really appreciate kind of being able to step back and take more of the songwriting wheel. Mm-hmm. Primarily, just, you know, for a session every year and again.
Are you someone who has the ability to write and produce while on the road? Can we maybe expect some songs from this upcoming Australian tour to maybe begin in our country and then grow from whatever kind of seeds are sowed at that point?
Yeah, I've pretty much written something on every tour. I just bring a little Shure microphone and an interface with me pretty much everywhere I go, just to make sure, because you never know. And yeah, and even this tour already, I've got some really cool ideas from. So yeah, you gotta always keep a little handheld on you just in case.
That's awesome to hear. Well, as I mentioned right up the top, Chelsea, I know there's a lot of people excited to be able to see you playing live. Again, these are your first shows down in Australia. And so there's a lot of excitement around them. I know we've spoken about kind of the wildlife. Hopefully whoever is in charge of organizing some of your activities here, they'll get you that koala to be able to have a photo with. And you're already conscious of our insects and snakes and spiders. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to, or you've heard to maybe check out? Maybe it's a band, maybe it's some of our cuisine or food and fine dining. Is there anything else that you're kind of looking forward to when you come to Australia?
I mean, I think this is maybe a little bit of a cliche answer, but I honestly am just really excited to get to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Typically, when we go to other countries to play shows, the shows are a bit smaller capacity than what we're playing here in the States. So I usually try to just stay after the shows and talk to as many fans as possible, because when else am I going to get to meet so many people who are in this whole other place? And we have this unique connection, you know, through music. And I don't know, doing that, honestly, I feel like a lot of the times you learn a lot more about a place and the people there than necessarily doing all the sightseeing and the tourist attractions and stuff. So I'm honestly just really excited to talk to as many people as I can.
Look, I think that's very fair. I think just on what you said then, for this tour, having a quick look at the tour dates and the venues that you're playing, they're not bad size rooms. They're pretty decent size rooms for an Australian tour. So the first time you're coming out. So I know that there's, a lot of fans who are excited to see you. And I think that although these are big rooms, they are still very intimate in how they've been designed. So I think fans are in for an absolute treat when it does come to this tour. Chelsea, I was wondering if you might indulge us. Usually we'd ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of on high rotation for yourself?
Yeah. So I always go to, I got to check my Spotify playlist whenever anyone asks this, because I like to be precise. But the new 21 Pilots song, Overcompensate, I really, really liked. And then Joe Keery's record that mm-hmm. he put out. And obviously everyone's it's blowing up now. I've loved that. And then I dove into some of his older stuff too. There's a song called Body that I've been listening to a lot that one of my crew guys showed me. I'm loving the Joe Keery stuff and that new 21 Pilots record as well.
It is funny how that Joe project is now kind of weirdly blowing up. The album's been out for a little while, but it's the songs obviously have some legs to them because people are absolutely loving them now. So very, very solid choices from yourself.
Yeah. What about you? Anything I should check out?
Oh, good question. And also thank you for asking. I'm rarely asked, and I don't mean that as a as an offense, more so like it's not my place to what have we got? I'll give some Australian bands some shout outs. So if you want to have a listen on your way over to some Australian bands, San Cisco, Teenage Dads, Peach PRC, they've all got some new music out at the moment. So some really good Australian acts that you can kind of listen to if you'd like.
I'd love to. Awesome.
Chelsea, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. I do appreciate it. For anyone who's listening, Chelsea's tour does kick off at the start of May, Thursday the 2nd of May in Sydney, and there's 4 dates after that. All details will be in the show notes. But yeah, Chelsea, thank you again so much for coming to chat with us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me. Super fun.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.